begin by thanking the two Rabbanim sitting next to me for this for the unbelievable Soros that really, really is helpful before the Yom HaDin to understand the Chasima, Yom Kippur, what is up ahead in front of us. And I just want to add a question that always bothered me every year. You know, we're sitting, filling ourselves to capacity on Friday afternoon and every Erev Yom Kippur, a mitzvah to eat. You walk into shul and you stay there for about 45 seconds until you have to go online for the bathroom. And you see the line is huge because everyone's there and you're trying to figure out another bathroom. That's the avoda of Kol Nidre. And suddenly afterwards, after you figure out a way and you get and you stroll back into shul, and there's a clap at the bima, and they start with the words Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre. We're starting the avoda of Yom Kippur, annulling all of our vows. I think, if I remember correctly, I don't chas v'shalom claim to be Reb Chaim Kanievsky, but I think that's on Chov Zayin Amabez in Nedarim. The concept of annulling Nedarim, of the concept of Hataras HaNeder. But Rabosai, the question that's always bothered me is, we just did this. We all did this on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why? Why repeat it? Why do something that's not necessary? And even if you find me an explanation why what we did on Erev Rosh Hashanah, or for those of you that weren't here Erev Rosh Hashanah, we're going to do it, why now? The climax, the essential part of Yom Kippur, this is the time that I'm going to go in, this is when I'm going to begin my avoda. You're making an announcement, all vows should be null and void. This is the way you open up, this is the way you present to me Yom Kippur. This is what Yom Kippur is all about. This is the most anticlimactic way to begin Yom Kippur, with Kol Nidre. That's question number one. Question number two is, if there's one part of the avoda of Yom Kippur, of the vidui on Yom Kippur, which is really the mitzvah of the Yom, is to be modeh and to admit to our chatoim, if there's one chait that sticks with us throughout Yom Kippur, that we even enunciate and reflect upon, even when we're not even in the vidui process. No longer in the ilah are we going through the complete vidui. Yet there is one chait that we repeat. Leman nechtal be'oishek yadein. You know what the chait that we are going to repeat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is? We are ganovim. We are gazlonim. We stole. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of al-chait to say when it's this Yom Kippur. I have a lot of things, unfortunately, that I have to be molded to. But Baruch Hashem, gezel is not number one on my list. I'm not saying it's not there and it's not needed to be said, but if you have to have one vidoy, one al-chait, one hodah, one admission that's going to carry through the rest of Yom Kippur all the way till the end of Ne'ilah, my first and foremost one is not going to be Oshek Yadenu, is not going to be Gezel. Yet for some reason, that's the one that stuck it out, that's pasted in every single tefillah again and again, even when we're not and we're done and we're complete with the vidoy process. Why? What is it about Gezel? What is it about specifically Oshek Yadenu that we have to even reiterate when it comes to even the Ne'ilah, when all the other Al-Chaits are done? And finally, I think one of the most fascinating questions, when we analyze the actual mitzvah Shebiyom that I'm talking about, The mitzvah that we have on this day, and we associate Yom Kippur, everyone knows Yom Kippur is the day that there's a mitzvah to do what? To do vidui. To confess. Where does it say that in the Torah? Where does it say in the Torah that a person should confess? Where is there a concept in the Torah called vidui, called confession? So Rabbi Shechter always likes to point this out. It's in Parshas Nasa. It's talking about a guardian, a shomer, that was supposed to watch a pikadon, Maseches Baba Metzia, and what happens? He said, yeah, it got lost. I don't know what happened to it, yeah, but I wasn't involved, it wasn't my fault. And guess what? The guy was caught in a lie. Adim came to court, testified against the guardian, and what does he do? He's mode. And then he has to bring a carbon, he has to pay, and etc., what the parsha deals with in Parshas Nos. And the Torah there says, v'his vado. He has a mitzvah to be mode, to be misvad. That's it. That's the source. That's vidu. Rabotzai, what in the world is going on with Yom Kippur? The Rambam tells us, the mitzvah Shabiyoim is what? Is lisvados. Where? Where'd you get that from? Parshas Noso? I don't know, get the shomrim. You'll call on the people. Who was a shomer this year? Who happened to have watched the guardian? Who followed the laws of Parshas Noso, Parshas Bamitzia, and was caught in a lie? Let him be misvade. What do I have to do with the mitzvah of vidui? There's no mitzvah of vidui when it comes to tshuva. Where do we get this idea that Yom Kippur is all about vidui? It doesn't say that in the Torah. There's no mitzvah of vidui in the Torah. It's limited to this specific parsha. So we're both saying, what in the world is going on here? What's going on with Kol Nidre? What's going on with our vidui and the one chait that we're reiterating again and again, even after we're done with all the al chaits, the vidui? And why in the world are we being mode? Why are we being misvade? Let's cut it. Aser tzvei tshuva. Be mekabel. Make a master plan, like the Rabbanim said beautifully. Make a picture in your mind. Shoot big, like Rabbi Schnall said. Make a picture in your mind, like Rabbi Weinberg said. And let's call it quits. Let's end it. Let's have a party on Yom Kippur. Why do we have to be mode? So I'd like to suggest the following idea. And it's based on a story that really moved me when I heard it. It's a story my wife told me. And I think this could answer all of our questions. There was once a woman who Nebuch was blind. And Baruch Hashem, although she was blind, she, Baruch Hashem, had a husband that was an unbelievable caretaker. A husband that would assist her. A husband that would guide her. A husband that would help her get to wherever she needed to get to. And one day the husband came home and told his wife, I heard on the radio that there is an opportunity. There is an opportunity for a transplant that could help your cornea, your specific issue. There is hope. And she can't believe it. And he gives her the number. And she calls. And she can't get through. But she doesn't give up. She calls again, day after day. Finally, she gets through to the person answering the service and in charge of the office and appointments for this special transplant. And she says, I would like to sign up for this transplant. I don't care how much it is. We will find the money. And she says, the person answering the phone, there are 334 people waiting ahead of you on the waiting list. You're too late. Would you like me to put you on the waiting list? And she can't even stay on the phone to say yes. She hangs up the phone. She turns to her husband and she begins to cry. And her husband says, "What is it?" And she said, "There's not a chance that I will qualify for this transplant." 5 days later, the husband comes home, runs to his wife, and said, "You're not going to believe it. I found a connection. I figured out a way. I knew someone who knew someone. And I put you on top of the list. And you on Thursday are going to be accepted for the transplant." And his wife can't believe it. And she's ecstatic. And this is just unbelievable. It's like she's going to be reborn. And she's jumping for joy, holding her husband, hugging her, hugging him. And they go to the surgery. And Baruch Hashem, the transplant is successful. And she walks out of the operating room, okay, a little bit dark at the beginning, but as a few hours, a few days pass, she begins to get accustomed to the light around her, and she begins to see the world like a reborn child. And she is running around with her husband, but she notices something that she was never aware of. She didn't know that all those times and throughout her life, she was never told, and she couldn't believe it, her husband was her caretaker, even though her husband was blind as well. And that initially was something incredible. But as time passed, and as she was living the dream and exploring the world, her husband, that was blind, that was tagging along, that was no longer able to keep up to the pace of someone who actually had eyes, was now becoming a burden, was someone that she had to schlep around. And months passed, and a year passed, and she suddenly started to distance herself from her husband. And she suddenly disconnected to her husband. Until one day, she turned to her husband and she said, "Ad kan, I have great plans. I want to see the world. I want to go to Greece and I want to go to South Africa. And I don't think it's going to work between the two of us." And she filed for divorce. Her husband was silent, accepted her decision, and wrote a letter. Packed up his bags, and without her noticing, left the letter on her pillow for her to read after he left. And the letter said as follows. "Dear Rachel, I want you to know I still love you like I always did. And I understand the decision that you've made. And I accept it, and I'm going to move on as well. But I just want you to know that I have one request that you follow even after we get divorced and we live and we move on our separate ways. There's something that I want you to take care of. Those eyes that you received, they are mine. Please take care of them." Rabosai, the Gemara in Nida tells us on Daf Lamed something fascinating. Kadosh Baruch Hu, when we are in the fetus, in our mother's womb, when we are developing, the Gemara tells us that there's a ner dolek on our head that we, the Maharal explains, represent. We're entirely a neshama. And that's why we're holding in Shas and Poskim, and we're learning Yomim V'Layla, because that's the only reality that we're in. Says the Maharal, then a Malach comes and hits us, and we forget all the Torah. What does that mean? Explains the Maharal, that Neshama that existed as an independent entity, now is not Ner Doluk Al-Gabe Rosho, now is within the Guf. We now become the entity that we are today, that we have an neshama in a different reality, encased in a body, in another surrounding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us in that Gemara Nida a fascinating statement before we come into this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says before we take that neshama and places it into that guf, protecting it, guarding it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani mashbia alecha. It's the first shvua we take. You take a shvua before you enter this world, before you're born. Tehiye tzadik ve'al tehiye rasha. You should grow. You should arise. You should meet the challenges. And you should come out righteous. And don't fall into the pits of this reality, of this world. And then we are born and we are placed into the guf. And then we come into the reality that we're in. Chevra. Leman nechdal me'oshek yadenu. If we want to summarize everything about Yom Kippur, if there's one chait that encapsulates everything that we're talking about, it's all of the senses that were given to us, the eyes that were delivered to us, the pikadon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us like that man, and we unfortunately abused it. We stole from HaKadosh Baruch. If we want to really go through the complete process of tshuva, we have to go back to Parshas Nosa. We have to be honest with who we are. We are a guardian. We are a shomer. Shomer that got a pikadon. That got this neshama. This neshama to stay a tzaddik. This neshama to say tehora. This neshama to keep growing. And where have we gotten to? We've ran after the physical pleasures of the guf. All of those hedonistic entities in the world. And we have sworn falsely. Our shvua that we took when we were born really ultimately turned into be a shvua sheker. So let's go back to Parshas Nosa. We are a shomer pikadon. We are a guardian watching over our neshama tahora. Our neshama tahora that was supposed to stay not damaged. Our neshama tahora that was supposed to connect to the eyes that were given to us, to the hands that were given to us, to the ears that were given to us, to cleave together and to be on the same mission as the neshama tahora, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mashbia Lios Tzadik. And yet, we face Yom Kippur and we recognize all of our shvuos, all of our commitments, all of our nedarim that we've taken in our life, to some extent, are false. And to a certain extent, we are Parshas Nosa. We are a Shomer HaPikadon that swore falsely, that now has to go through the Vidoy process. And if you want to know one broader category, one title, to now encompass all of our Chataim in the Al Chaitz, it's Oshek Yadenu. It's gezel. It's stealing from HaKadosh Baruch. That's why we begin the Yom Kippur experience with those important words of Kol Nidrei U'Kol Shvuei. Any commitment, any promise, the ultimate commitment, let it be null and void. Please, HaKadosh Baruch, we recognize that we didn't hold up to our commitments, that we didn't hold up to our purpose for living in this world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have rachmanis on us, because we're now entering into a new zone. We are now going to reconnect the wires. We are now going to remove ourselves from the Chamesh Inuyim, from the five physical aspects of this world, which now builds a new reality that allows our neshama and that same pikadon that you told us to focus on and to be the leading entity and the driving force in our life of Mashbia Ani Alecha Ti Yetzadik V'Al Ti Yerasha. Now I'm going to go through a Yom Kippur experience that's a natural habitat for that neshama to lead me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to reaffirm that commitment. I'm going to stand up to that commitment, and in Mirtza Hashem, I will be successful. So please, forgive me. Please understand that I got lost in the process, but I'm still a trustworthy guardian. I'm still a trustworthy shomer. And therefore, I enter into the Yom Kippur with that approach. After we say Kol Nidre, and after we recognize why God gave us our eyes, what does He want us to do with our eyes? Like we say in the Tevila Zaka, that's the most important Tevila Rabosai. If I can urge anything, make sure, like the Chafetz Chaim urged everyone, make sure you get to shul on time. In my shul, I add extra time to the Tanis to make sure that people have the ability to say Tefillah Zak. Such an important tefillah. But it really, if you read it in the English Rabosai, it says exactly what we're saying. It takes all those Eivarim, all those dimensions of the physical body, and redirects them back to the Neshama. Redirects them back to the Shvu and the Gemara Nida of the purpose of why we're in this world. So Mirtza Hashem, with this new approach, with all this chizuk that we got from these Rabbanim that are sitting to the right and to the left of me, Mirtza Hashem, this Yom Kippur will be a different Yom Kippur. This Yom Kippur will be an ability and will enable us to stay on the path, to really be true guardians, to be effective guardians. And Emir Tzashem, when we present to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an authentic way, that's what we want to do, and with our grand plan, and with our design, Emir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mezaka all of us, with a Gemar Chasima Tova, and a year full of Peres, Hatzlacha, Simcha, Bracha, and Nachas.